Let's go.
Bro, I've been trying to get the whole fucking camp on here for forever.
Dude, that'd be so sick. If, especially the what's it called? The international camp, you know? Like, it's so easy to get the California camp because, you know, you're always there and I'm always there too. So, but, like, to get, like, people like Ken and 12 and, you know, just everybody, that'd be sick.
Yeah, dude. Listen. So officially, my guy Pono, aka Young Striker, is joining me on the fucking smoking section. My dude, thank you for coming through again. Dude, it's a blessing to have you on here, for real. I really want you to overstand that. It's a blessing to have you on here, man. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me, for sure. Like, this is dope. I know we've talked about it before in the past about, you know, me hopping on and maybe just the timing wasn't right, but I'm glad we got to find some time now to, you know, to do this. So yeah, I'm excited, bro.
Hell yeah, bro. Yeah, you know, like, you know, even before we get all into everything that you do, bro, it's like, we're busy, you know what I mean? We grown men out here, you know what I mean? I got my kids going on, and then everything that you're doing out there, like, yeah, timing wasn't right. But then I did a podcast with one of my buddies who's a comedian, and and he was just talking about, like, how do I get started? How do I do this? How do I do that? I was like, bro, you gotta make the time for these things, man. And sometimes it happens quick, and sometimes it's kind of a long game. Yeah. And it made me kind of like look back through some messages, and then boom, there was Pone. I was like, let me get him. I was like, let me hit him up. Let me get him on the fucking show. Dude, so for people who don't know, take a second, man. Give a quick brief rundown of who you are, and then we'll kind of get into this.
Sweet. Well, my name is Pono, aka Young Striker. I live here in Hawaii on the island of Oahu. I am a crump dancer, obviously. Also a full-time musician. I'm a huge Disney Marvel fan, and that is pretty much me in a nutshell. That's pretty much me in a nutshell. Like, I'm a crumper. I'm a full-time musician and a huge Marvel Disney fan. So there's not much more after that. I mean,
and I know I had you send some stuff over before, and you said that you had kind of got your start and got your foot in crump around 2007. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. So 2007. Shortly before I started crump dancing, I was dipping my feet into, like, b-boy and popping and locking. And this was the time when, like, You Got Served came out. So, of course, the craze was like, oh, man, dance battle. And let's just start here, I guess you could say. But when You Got Served came out, like, it was such a – for me, I felt like it was such a huge movie, because the feelings that I felt watching dance battles and, you know, dishing out your emotions through dance, to me was dope. I was like, man, like, how can I be a part of something like this? And so it was like, I immediately was like, I want to learn how to break dance. I want to learn how to do those moves and pop and lock and choreo. And so I ended up, like, being a part of our, like, high school dance team, I guess. And then somehow I came across a video on the internet. I don't know if it was YouTube back then. I think it was MySpace. But
wow.
Yeah, that's how, like, far back it was. So I just came across a video of, like, crumping on MySpace, and it wasn't like a DVD, it was just like a random video of, like, crumpers dancing. I think it was the old Blood Brothers clip of, like, when Bad News did Bad News and the, you know, Little Hungry Battling. So I was like, oh wow, that's dope. It looks so high energy, looks just like You Got Served. I want to be a part of that. And so 2007 is when I started to, like, exploring. I didn't have anybody who crumped, and it's luckily there was these two, like, kids, like, well, two homies that were dancing, and they happened to be crumpers. I was like, oh, like, can I, you know, I'm a crumper too. I'm trying to learn, you know, can I join y'all? And he's like, yeah, sure. And so that's where, like, my crump journey started, was in high school of my junior year. Yeah, that's when I started.
Yo, that's dope. And then what year did you graduate high school?
2008.
Okay, so not to age drop, you know, but we got a cool little timeline going.
I don't mind dropping my age. I'm 33 now, and I think, to me, it doesn't bother me to drop my age, only because to know when I started, to the fact that I'm still doing this now, it's like, wow. When you look at the timeline, it's like, wow, you've been dancing for this long and you're still doing it? How? You know, this, you know, there's a lot of people who dip their feet into something and after some years they'll stop and they'll lose motivation. But I feel like my motivation for Crump now is the same hunger that I was when I first started. And so hence why I'm still in the game, you know. So
I like that, man. And I came around, I came across Crump around the same time, about 2008. And interesting enough, it was my sister that showed it to me. And I've spoke about this on a previous podcast. And, you know, I just watched it and I enjoyed it, but I never really like pursued it. I knew I liked it, but there was just nobody in my area doing it. And but that really kind of gave me my intro into watching things like, yeah, like the Step Ups and you know, what was the other? There was another dance movie. The one where the girl's like a ballet dancer and
Last Dance.
Yes. So, bro, like I just started getting into these dance movies and I was like, yo, this is really cool. But didn't really ever dive into it until about, you know, 2016 status. So I was a late bloomer, I guess. What keeps you hungry, man? Like that's good to hear that you still have that same fire and passion for it. Like when you first stumbled upon it, what do you think keeps you motivated and keeps you hungry for Crump?
So because, and we both know this, Crump is ever growing and ever evolving, and there's always something new to learn about the dance in general. My hunger from the very beginning. So the reason why I was so hungry for Crump is one, that again, like just that feeling of like dancing and releasing your emotions and doing something different. Because I definitely could have been doing something totally different and bad, and could have gone a different direction. But Crump kept me hungry because one, the feeling that I felt watching dance before I started, and the feeling that I got while I was dancing, even when I was starting off. And so I'm going to dive right into this. So before my first Crump event, there was this group called Crumpany, and they were already established 2006, and they were popping. Like they were on the Hawaii News Channel, and they're like, hey, this is a new style crumping, you know, you just want people to come dance. And so they had links to the MySpace page. And so I hit the MySpace page and I didn't know who it hit up. I was like, just blah, 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 there. I'm just going to hit you, this guy. And this guy named Dustin, he was one of the lit homies of Hawaii Crump. And so I hit him up like, hey, like, I'm interested in Crump. You know, I see that you guys have an event, you know, how can I be a part of, or how can I learn, be a part of it? And so he messaged me, he said, hey, like, yes, absolutely, we have an event on this date. Come through, and then when you get here, I can definitely introduce you to some of the head honchos, and if you want to learn under somebody, I can introduce you to them, and you can learn their style or whatever you feel, you know, comfortable with. And so I showed up to the event, and you know, coincidentally, the first event I showed up to was when Rapture was Little Tyler's. He came to Hawaii. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know who anybody was. And so he just told me to come. And so I went there and he introduced me to some people. And that's where I just, you know, one of the homies was like, hey, I'm down to teach you, you know, when are you free? And so the fact that somebody was open to be like, hey, I'm willing to teach you Crump, when are you free? I'm like, oh, I'm going to make time. And so... Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I was in high school. So I you've seen this on my story. A lot of people, I want to share this. I was a part of the wrestling team my junior year. And I was a wrestler for all of my junior year and part of my senior year. When it came to my senior year, I didn't even wrestle a full season. I quit. I quit wrestling to Crump. And to me, yes, wrestling is a big thing, and I was just dipping my feet into that too, and I love that too. But again, that feeling of, you know, people wanting to dance, like, oh yeah, let's just get together and dance. That's what drew me, is the community part, the fact that somebody was open to, hey, you're new to this. We're semi new to this. We just want people to dance, to just, you know, come enjoy. And that's what happened. And that's initially what drew me to the dance, was like, they're just so open. Like, oh yeah, we just want people to dance. And so I was excited to dance.
Man, that's insane. And it's insane too, because I am a, I am a buff for history. It was one of my favorite subjects in school. And, you know, I think like most dancers, you know, school was just not for a lot of us. You know, we want to dance, especially for the people who caught that dancing bug at a young age. And, you know, in 2008, you know, 7-8, I was a freshman in high school. And dude, I was smoking mad pot. Like, you know what I mean? Let's be real frank. I was smoking mad weed, you know what I mean? And I was just kind of like cooling, and school really just did not interest me. I mean, I was good in school. Like, I mean, I, you know, when you could get me in class, I was always good. But for the most part, I wanted to do other stuff, man. You know, the wrestling, basketball, you know, I loved all the other extracurricular stuff, but history always had me. And it's been cool, and it's been very interesting to watch some of the posts you've been making and the stories you've been sharing about Crump's history. And then even just to hear you speak of it now and like how versed you are in it, man, it really does tell me how immersed you are with where it came from, who these people were, the way that you shout them out, Manny, giving those ups and that love to the people who came before us, our veterans and the OGs of our respective communities. So you got introduced, you know, you got this group, you know, we're in the MySpace days. where does Pono come across Beast now?
Oh man. Okay, so this is the SK. This is the SK era when, you know, LeVar, Basics, and Beast. He was under Baby. You know, he was Baby Tie Dyes under Eyes, and so they had a joint fan. And I had been a part of two fams before that. You know, obviously my original big homie from Hawaii, Trespasser. You know, OG. Shout out to, you know, Romeo. And Suave. So after my initial big homie, you know, something happened. So we ended up like battling each other for something. And so I separated. And on top of that, he stopped because he wanted to do adult stuff. And he like had his own life and he wants to start kids. So not a problem. Then I moved on to Suave for like a hot second. Suave from Vegas. Shout out to Suave in Vegas. But I was under him for a little bit because I really have to go through this because it's really a process. So the reason why I was under Suave is because as a Trespasser under my first big homie, Crump in Hawaii was so big. There was like 50 people deep from different parts of the same island. Like, oh yeah, territory, I want to battle you. It's kind of like how it is in California and all around the world. Like, oh yeah, you're in this side of town, all right, we want to battle. So that's how it was. Anyway, long story short, there was an event where my big homie and a few other people brought down Crush and Suave for an event. And that's how I got introduced to Suave. And so from there, me being a student of the game, I'm just like, oh, it'll be cool to learn under somebody from California or Vegas. It's just like back then Hawaii was top three. Some of the OGs can like, not just in Hawaii OGs, but like some of the OGs back then who flew down here can vouch. We were top three. It was California, Vegas, and Hawaii. Not like that now, but you know, back then it was. So anyway, got under Suave for a hot second. And then I ended up leaving Suave for my own personal reasons. And then years later, I wasn't under anybody and I was still hungry for knowledge. But back then for Hawaii, there was no workshops online. There was no teachings. It was just whatever you saw on YouTube is like, okay, that's a cool move. I'm just going to imitate and maybe recreate it the way I want to. And so me being me, I was like, man, like I networked with Suave and then I got to be under him. Fast forward to after being Suave, I still wanted to be a student and it was just me. And I was kind of like climbing the ranks of Hawaii. It's like, you know, I'm just getting better just because I want to get better. And, you know, I've been watching clips. And so I saw that Beast and Basics had a fan called the Strikers. And I was like, I really like their style. I really enjoy the collab. And so I messaged both of them individually. I said, hey, you know, I know you just opened this fam, Strikers. I'm from Hawaii. I just wanna learn. I have no big homie and I just wanna learn. Like back then too, it was tough because in that time when they first created the Striker name, you saw a lot of people just wanting to be under people who are under eyes just for the clout and just for the name. And like, mm-hmm. for me, it wasn't what it was. And so I messaged him on the side, like, hey, I just want to learn. And so they're like, all right, cool. You know, we'll be watching. And so when they said they'll be watching, I took that as let's put in work. What can we do? I got to start battling people. I got to start labbing. I got to show that I can progress, not just say that I dance or not just dance as such. I got to really progress. So it took a year and a half, almost 2 years before they considered me being in the fam. And like, again, I had to put work battling OGs, not just battling, but I was winning. And people were wondering, like, why is Pono like killing? There was one battle that I think was a highlight. I don't know where it is. I battled Playboy. Playboy came down here to Hawaii. And because I was rising the ranks of Hawaii, people were like, oh, Pono, you should battle Playboy. And I don't think I was prepped for that. I think they told me that night. And I said, hey, all right, let's just do it. I'm seasoned. And so that was one of like my favorite battles. And he definitely came with it too. But again, I had to put in a lot of work for Hawaii, like really show up to sessions, you know, coordinate stuff with people. And a year and a half later, after, you know, messaging about being a Striker, I get a call. I was on the bus on my way to work and I get a call on Facebook call from LeVar Basics. And I'm like, oh, that must be a mistake. Like, it was just a butt dial. And then I call him back, like, hey, bro, you know, is that an accident? He's like, no. Are you free right now? I said, yeah. He's like, okay, well, let me call you back in 5 minutes. So he calls me back in 5 minutes. I get off the bus and he said, hey, we want to make you Young Striker. And I was like, oh, let's go. So
let's go.
I was so hyped. Me just thinking, it's another day at work. But I get a call from LeVar and he's like, hey, you're going to be Young Striker. Sure enough, like, you know, B Sherwin makes a post on Facebook saying, hey, we're expanding the empire. Welcome, Young Striker from Hawaii. And it's like, wow. Like, all this work that I put in for Hawaii, it really did pay off. And you've seen it on my story the other day, but my work ethic really shows in the things that I've accomplished and things I've done in Hawaii and outside of Hawaii. Like, this is not a, oh yeah, we're just gonna bring him in because he's tight. No, like, I had to build myself, and sometimes it was just myself building sometimes. So that's how I became a Striker. It took some work and it took some time.
Mm-hmm, dude. And even on my journey to get into the camp, you know, you were somebody who tapped in with me a few times, like, hey, you trying to be camp, man, like this and that. And it was very, and I don't even want to say like reassuring or anything like that, but it was just like, yo, I got somebody on my side in this journey. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got this goal and I really want to do this. And there's people who are like rooting for me, man. They're cheering me on. And so it's tight to hear how you got there, because I mean, man, we've had our chances to like chit chat back and forth and stuff, but to really sit down and to hear your journey in this process, it's cool, man. And it's very inspiring. It's very inspiring for anybody who might be out there in your community or anywhere who might come across this podcast and be like, hey, like, you know, they have these big dreams, these big goals, and they may think that they're too small or they're in a place where it's not available. It's like, nah, bro, if you put in the work, you know, like just like Pono did, you know, in a place on this island way out here in the ocean, you know what I mean? In this one little place, there's people who are achieving these such grand fucking grand dreams, man. Yeah. And it's tight, bro. So we become Young Striker. Yeah, and you're still out there repping the Hawaii movement. Where does music fall along in all of this?
Whoa. All right. Music has always been a part of my life. I just remember as a young kid, I knew I was going to be some kind of entertainer, whether it was an actor, a musician, a singer, a dancer. I knew it was going to be something. I just felt it. Even way before dancing, I just remember like memories of while my grandma was working, I would be, you know, waiting outside her job, listening to music. I would just love listening to music. I would try to imitate singers like Boyz II Men, you know, all these greats, you know, say Boyz II Men, NSYNC, Usher, I just love music. And so I was so musically inclined that at a very young age, I asked my grandma, like, hey, can I get an ukulele? And then it took a while for her to get me one. But when I finally got one, man, I was on that thing like flies on shit, bro. I kid you not. Like, I would sit. There was this show called Overdrive Live in Hawaii. And it's just like music videos of like Hawaii musicians. And I would sit in front of the TV with my ukulele listening to music. But because I can't read notes, to this day, I can't read notes. As a young kid, I would just sit in front of the TV listening and pluck the strings like, oh, there's the sound. It matches that. There's the chord. And I would just listen and play along. And so every time I would wait for that show to come on, Overdrive Live, and there it was. All right, get my ukulele ready. And all right, I'm playing along with them. And so I even knew myself that there was something special about what I was doing. It's like, dang, like, I don't need a music sheet. I just want to listen and play. So music has always been a part of my life in small specs. I just started singing in the hallways with my friends in elementary or intermediate and high school. I would do the same thing, but it was never serious. It was just like, oh, you know, that's what Polynesian kids do. We just sing in the hallways and we've gone our way. And so music now, I just can't believe it myself that, you know, I'm a full-time musician. I don't work for anybody. I work for myself. I do have a company that I work with that helps me get gigs, but music has been such a big part of my life that 2018, I got an ukulele off Facebook Marketplace, and it was just like a random ukulele from Lanikai Ukuleles. And so I started doing covers, you know, 2017, 2018, and I just started hashtagging Lanikai Ukuleles. And because I didn't know, I was like, okay, well, that's what it is. I'm just going to hashtag. That's what people are doing, hashtags. And so a few months had gone by, and I get a message from Lanikai Ukuleles, the artist relations manager. And they said, hey, like, we really like your Instagram, you know, your Instagram videos. And so Lanikai Ukulele, can we help you in any way? And I said, sure. You know, at first I thought it was a scam. He was like, well, why is a company, ukulele company, hitting me up and say they want to help me? But, you know, when I messaged him back, we jumped on a call and said, hey, like, we like your stuff. We'd like to endorse you. Like, we'd like to help you out. And so even then I was like, this must be a scam. What they want, really? And they're just talking about, you know, we just see you doing great things with music and, you know, we just want to help you in your journey. And so 2018, November 16th, I believe, I was endorsed by Lanikai. And basically, they send me free ukuleles every year to help them promote their brand. I perform everywhere with my ukulele, and that was the start of my musical career, because I just thought I was just going to do covers on Instagram with my ukulele, and that's it. But when they started to send me electric ukuleles, they're like, oh, you know, maybe you can start finding gigs. And I was like, sure, but I didn't really think much of it. And so one gig a month turned into 2 gigs a month to 3 gigs a month. And before I knew it, there were so many gigs, people that wanted me to play music for them, that I was working full time. Like, as a part-time musician, I was working 5 days a week, you know, gigging part-time, maybe 1-2 days a week. And it got to the point where it was just like, I could do this full time now. And I was making more money doing my gigs per week than I was 2 weeks at one job. And I was just like, wow, maybe I could really do this. So I had to like factor in a lot of things. And sure enough, you know, I think it was last year, June was my last working day at my full-time job. And then for about a year and some change now, I've been a full-time musician. It's been such a crazy ride because even though I've progressed with not just dance with and music, it still feels like the beginning for me. And it's exciting. It's exciting. It's a new journey. And yeah, that's how music ties in. Like it, and the crazy thing about it, music ties into Crump and Crump ties into music. It's just like the people I've met through Crump and through music, they're all tied some way. They may not know each other exactly, but the connections I've made were through Crump to music and the people that helped me along the way. So that's how music ties into all of this. Like, it's really insane, bro.
Man, there is something about, and because I do believe, I do in my heart of hearts and in my soul, I believe that you're a phenomenal artist. Not only, you know, not only with your dancing, but with the music I've seen you post and the stuff that I've heard, you're a phenomenal artist, bro. And there is just something when, you know, we all knew those kids in school who just get it. Like, you know, they just fucking get it, bro. Like they pick up that basketball at a young age and they just understand, you know, or the football stars that we all knew, or the kids who played fucking five sports and they were just good at it. And I just really do. I really, not to take away from your work ethic and the hard work that you've put in towards it, but I think that there is that you do have a natural inclination to it. And it shows, bro. It shows in just the way that you speak, man. It shows in the way that you speak about it, in the way like I was like, oh, so tell me about music. And bro, you just light up and it's like, okay, let's go, Pono, bro.
And so, you know, like, it's like, just like how we started off this podcast, that is me in a nutshell. Like they're the same person you see on Instagram, social media, I'm the same person. So when I say I'm a crumper, a full-time musician, a Disney Marvel fan, that is me in a nutshell. Like, yes, like I can talk about these things, especially crump and music, is because I have a strong passion for this. Like I come from a family where they weren't given things. And even to this day, they're, my family struggles sometimes, and a lot of families do. And the place that where I was living with my auntie and my family was a bad neighborhood where it's just like crime was happening. And, you know, it's hard to think outside of like not hood mentality, but like just poverty-ish mindset when you're living there. It's hard to think outside of that when it's just like what you see every day is not good. And so I decided, as just for me, I didn't want to live this. I didn't want to live that way anymore. Even though we were living there, I didn't want to live that mindset. I wanted something more for me. I knew I was destined for more. And I had to go out. I had to step out and do something about it. Like, you know, we have, you know, all my cousins and my aunties, uncles, they all were talented athletics. My mom was a great swimmer. My auntie was a great volleyball player. Their kids are great sports, but they never stuck with it because they felt, it's just so far-fetched. Just only great people can do it. But no, like I've proven time and time again with my family, with my friends, that if you really want to do something, you can really do it. You just have to start. You have to do it. And like, for example, when I first started Crump, my family and friends like, oh, you look crazy. You look like a crazy person dancing at the bus stops. Like, you should just stop doing it. And I'm like, no, I'm going to continue to do this because it makes me feel good. I'm around good people. I'm going to keep doing it. Years after I started getting better and started traveling with it, and I got the opportunity to dance in the Philippines because I was a crump dancer, it was like my family's, wow, like, all right, well, if you're going to do this, I support you now. Yeah, I mean, and not that they never did. But again, when you're in that poverty mindset, you just don't see anything past it. And so when they see me achieving one thing after another, it's like, all right, you're just going to let him do what he's going to do because he's going to achieve it. Same thing with music. They didn't, not that my family or friends doubted me, but the talk of being a full-time musician is like, oh no, you gotta have healthcare. You gotta be a really great musician to do this. I'm already doing it. You know, mm-hmm. It's just like, I've proven so many people wrong that with what I'm doing, as long as you are consistent, you put the work in, you put the effort in, anything is possible. That's why sometimes when you see Sherwin telling me anything is possible, that is my motto and his motto to me, to each other. Anything is possible when you put the work in. Like, it really does matter. And so I'm a walking, living proof of you can do it. You just mm-hmm. have to do it. Like, you just have to believe that you can do it. And look, bro, I still can't believe I'm a full-time musician to say that. Like, traveling musician, people book me outside of Hawaii, and it's just crazy to me because there are a lot of people that wonder the same thing all the time. Like, how, like, as soon as I became a full-time musician, people were just like, oh, how did you do it? I said, I just was doing it. I believe that I was, and people said I was good, and maybe sometimes I didn't believe I was good, but the fact that people are still asking for me to play for them, it's like, there must be something here. Maybe, yeah, I don't think I'm like all that musician in Hawaii, but I must be doing something when people are like, man, you're so good. Like, can you play at our restaurant? Can you play for our party? Can you do this? It's like, and it's exactly what happened with Crump. When things started to happen and successful things started to happen in Hawaii for Crump, he's like, oh, Pono, can you teach us, bro? Let us know how did you be a part of this? And so my whole thing is just sharing. It's just mm-hmm. sharing my passion, whether it's music and dance, and whatever you want to do with it, that's on you. If it's just for fun, cool. If you want to be a full-time musician, dancer, you can definitely do it. It's just, you got to put in a lot of work. And there's not just one alley for music and dance. There's many alleyways, you know, like for a musician, you have the gig life, you have the recording life, you have just the private parties. And there's not just one alley. You don't have to be the top recording artist in your state or whatever to be a full-time musician. If you can make it work, it'll work, and it's working out for me. And do I see myself doing more? Absolutely. But I'm not in a rush to do them. Like, it takes time to be recording artist, to maybe be a producer one day. You know what I'm saying? All these things take time with everything. Crump, dance, just everything, bro. So yeah.
Bro, and that's so powerful when you have so many people, and especially even in just the Crump community alone, you know, they come from these impoverished neighborhoods, and there's this famine mindset and this crab in a bucket mindset, and they say, you know, I'm not from a privileged family. And I've been really big on, when I hear that, I really try to combat that with, just because of the birth that you took in this life, right? Like, some people do take higher births, right? They're birthed into a wealthy family with many resources and all these things. It does not define your destiny, right? Exactly. If you put your passions first, right, and you stay open to the possibilities that are limitless in this universe, right, this great, wonderful universe of ours, so much can happen. Like, I don't think Barack Obama woke up one day, you know, at 7 years old and was like, I'm going to be president of the United States, and just thought that. But I know somewhere along the lines, he said, you know what, I can make a difference in my community. And then he did that. And then he said, you know what, I think I can make a difference in my county. And then he did that. And then he said, oh, you know what, my state. And then did that. And then he said, you know what, I can do something for my country. And then he went and did that. Yep. And that goes not only with him, but any other person, the owners of Apple, Spotify, you know, Beast and fucking self. I don't think he woke up one day and was like, you know what, I'm going to be one of the most influential people in dance that ever lived. But here he is, like, you know what yep. I mean? And is changing the fucking game. And I really look at you guys, man, for a lot of inspiration, dude. And the fact, I mean, dude, listen, coming from North Carolina to Cali, I knew what a ukulele was, and I had to get corrected a lot because I always said ukulele. Yeah. Like, no, dude, it's a ukulele. I was like, okay, I'm sorry. But the first time I heard that sound live. It was majestic. I was like, oh my God, what is, because I knew it wasn't a guitar. And I was like, who is doing this? And then I could hear the singing. And I was like, where are they, bro? And there was just all the Hawaiians and the Samoans and guys hanging out at this table, just singing songs, bro. And I would always find myself over there on lunch, just eating, you know, because I was kind of like a loner boner. And I would just sit and eat and just listen to them sing, bro. And I was like, dude, this is the most beautiful sound I've ever heard in my life. Like, this is fucking wonderful, man. And so, dude, I do, like I said, man, I think you have this very natural inclination and very natural drive, the drive itself to do these things, man. And I'm excited because one thing I also wanted to talk about and make sure that we talk about is that you're rebuilding, you know, I don't want to say that you're rebuilding from scratch, but you are revitalizing and breathing new life into the Hawaii Crump movement.
Yes.
And so what steps are you taking right now to get that going and get that rolling?
So because it's back then, it was easier because people were just hungry for Crump and it was new and it was exciting. Because Crump is known, there is a lot of people here in Hawaii that want to learn Crump, are skeptical, you know, like with anything, like, what starting new with something new is always hard, and it's getting, the process of training it is tough. So what I'm doing to prepare for that is I've been showing up to these all style sessions. And because over the years, I've been one of the most respected crump dancers in Hawaii. And I'm not saying that just to say that. I've had the top OGs, the best dancers in Hawaii tell me this, like, hey bro, like, I look at you like as like the head honcho of Crump in Hawaii. And so I show up to the all-style sessions and show that I'm open to be around your guys' environment. And I'm always willing to learn another style. And in turn, when they see us set, you know, the three, four of us that session at their sessions, they recognize immediately, dang, like the energy. Oh, we need that. And I think sometimes that the all-style committee needs that. They need the Crump kind of energy. Like, something's different about Crump when you have hype, like, oh, that was sick. And because Crump, like I said, when Crump, since Crump has evolved, it's more understandable to all-style dance, especially when you're on beat, your material combos look really crazy and similar to these other styles and animation. It's just like, wow, like, I see animation in Crump. Can teach me that. And in turn, I'm like, well, teach me that. Because I need what you got. And I can, in turn, let's just share it with each other. And so my process of doing this is, one, networking with individuals, not just doing real Instagram reels or stories, not just saying, oh yeah, I'm going to have this. That will go so far. You have to go out in the community and be like, hey, like, if you're interested in Crump, I'm throwing this. Oh, cool, bro. Like, let me know when it is. Like, and sometimes you have to go as far as, if you can't make this date that I'm going to be doing this, what other day are you free? If I'm open to teach you, if you're willing, let's meet halfway. Let's meet on another day that you're free. So we can just go over, you know, some simple movements of Crump, maybe some basics, and maybe in turn you can teach me. And that's what it's all about. It's about community. It's not just about saying, oh yeah, just because I'm Young Shark Kapono and everybody knows me as this, that they'll just come. No, you have to go do the work. You have to do the dirty work of, let me go talk to this person. Not just like, hey, I have this thing, come to my thing. But hey, bro, what you're doing is sick. Like, so literally last week, Thursday, I went to the all-style session. There was one Crump battle that happened, but there were some people that have never jumped in a Crump session, or sometimes they'll hop here and there and know just a little bit of Crump. And as a leader of Hawaii Crump, it's easy for us to be like, pick apart, like, ah, that wasn't stuff, you need work. But it's another thing to be like, bro, what you did is so, like, I really like that. Like, if you just understood just a little bit of the basics, you would be insane. It's encouraging when you compliment them, encourage them, versus like, oh man, that was dope. It's more than that. You have to be like, bro, what you did in there was sick. For me, I'm the kind of person, like, I don't care what level you're at. I don't care what you look like in the session. I will find something that I really liked about your round. I'm going to tell you. And I went up to all three dancers, and they're not even crumpers. And I said, hey, like, what you did in that session was really sick. And so they would open, hey, bro, yeah, I definitely want to learn crump. And I say, hey, bro, whenever you're free, you know, hit me up. Here's my Instagram. You know, hit me up if you ever have questions. That's what putting in the work is. It's not just about the dancing. It's literally going out there and talking with people. And even I think one of the dopest dancers in Hawaii, his name is AJ Headache. He's been messaging me now. He's like, hey, bro, like, I want to learn crump. And I told him, I want to learn animation. So now that I have all these connections from other people, when they see that you're open, and just like how my first big homie was, when you're open to somebody and you're patient with them, they'll come. They'll definitely come. And so that's what I'm doing to prepare, is talking with people one-on-one, saying, hey, bro, like, you know, I want to work with you, because I want to collab with you, because what you're doing is already tight as a dancer. Your grooves, sick. Your footwork, sick. Your animations, you're sick. Man, when you jump in the crumb session, just getting the bare minimum basics, you would be a great, you'd be a killer, because you already understand how to dance. When I started dancing, when I first started crumb dancing, my friends and my old big homie can vouch, I had no rhythm. I didn't know how to dance, period. And if you watch some of the old crumb, like Hawaii crumb videos of them, like talking about how I started, I had nothing. I came from scratch. Like, it was so hard for me to just get three jabs and move my feet. I couldn't move my feet. My big homie would tell me all the time, man, he just don't know how to move his feet and do his arms together. And when I look at these other dancers as potential, like, man, like, you guys have major potential. The fact that you guys are already dancers, you're already starting a little bit ahead of me than when I first started. So this might be easier for you to understand than it was for me back then. So that's what I'm doing to prepare, is just talking to people, preparing to, all right, if I'm going to really do these trainings and lab, I have to also put in the work by myself. I have to make sure I'm on top of my stuff. I can't just be labbing, training 1-2 days a week and when I feel like it. No, I have to be on my game. And one, I want to be on my game because I love crump. I'm a fan of crump. I watch everything. I watch every footage, every battle. I may not post about it, but I watch everything. Like the crumpers page, I see every link, all, and I watch. That's how much of a fan of crump I am. And so I watch, I study, I watch Beast Camp trainings on the website all the time, every week. And it's because I love crump. And I told myself that, because one point, like a few months ago, the gigs were so much that I was like, I'm tired. But I told myself, I watch all this crumb stuff. Why am I not doing it? Because I love doing this. I need to change my mindset. I got to take action. I can't just sit back and just be like, oh yeah, my name's going to hold itself. No, because when it comes to a session and battle, I have to perform. And so that's what keeps me hungry. It's just like, well, I want to continue this journey of crump. I want other people to continue this journey of crump with me. And even after I am done, I want people to in Hawaii to be like, all right, we can't just rely on Pono. At some point, somebody's going to step up. And if they don't, it is what it is. I feel like I would have done what I've done already the best I could. But, you know, I still believe that it can still grow. And that's where I'm at with this whole training and rebuilding Hawaii. Is it going to be a huge hit for the first year? Maybe not. And that's okay. The most important thing is I stay hungry. When people see that I'm hungry, they're like, oh man, I want to eat from his table too. Like, let me go with him, because there's something that he's doing that I really love to, that I love watching, that I want to be a part of. And so that's how it works.
Oh, eat from his table too. Eat from his table too. There was something I was talking to a friend of mine earlier, and Now, I'm not a very religious man, but I've been telling a lot of people that I have been reading the Bible a lot more, and because it speaks in a language that I understand, right? The parables and the metaphors and these rhymes, it speaks a language that is digestible and I can understand, right? Just like Crump. I did choreography for a long time, and though I could get it and I could repeat these moves, it just didn't speak to me. But Crump does, right? And to eat from your table, bro, is like in Psalms, you know, everyone knows the whole prayer of the Lord is my shepherd, thou shalt not want.
Yeah.
Right. And he goes later on in that same, in those same verses, speaks about how he prepares a table amongst my enemies. Right. And he doesn't limit it that. And I was reading it over a few times and I was trying to dissect it. And I was like, though I have a table prepared for me in front of my enemies, he doesn't say that my friends ain't at this table too. And we eating out here.
Yeah.
If I'm going to do right by the people, I'm going to eat across the table from my enemies, right? Because my plate's full. You know, I'm hungry out here. My plate's full. I'm good. And if I look to my right and my left, my homies is going to be good too. As long as I'm good, as long as I'm doing what I got to do and I'm staying righteous in what I do and I'm upright, you know what I mean? Being virtuistic and being moral in the movements and truthful in the words that I speak, we going to be straight, man. And we got plenty enough room to eat out here, bro. It's a buffet where we're eating at, you know, Bees Camp, my boy. We got a buffet That's around right. this bad boy. You know what I mean? We eating everybody, man. I am a fan. I am a fan of everybody in the camp. Really, really. And I'm trying to get to that point too, man. Like, I used to be such a fan of Crump where I watched every video that dropped. I watched any event, you know, any event that was going down. I mean, I was like a crackhead just waiting for the footage to drop. But now I've just been watching the camp, man. I'm such a fan and I need to wean off of the camp a little bit, you know, but Icon is so good. You're so good, man. Atum Ra, so good, bro. Gruesome. Everybody, Ghost, everybody's just so fucking good. Ken, 12. I mean, everybody's so good, dude. It's hard. It's so hard when your friends are just so good, dude, at what they fucking do. Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Ah, man. It's exciting though. It's exciting, bro. And especially with everything that Hawaii's going through. And I hope your family's good, bro, and the tragedies that have been happening out there and everything that's went down. But it's, I think, and when you were first kind of posting about it on social media, I was like, what a time for him to be rebuilding this community when community is needed the most right now.
Yeah.
Like, people need to be coming together right now and banding together. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's rough. It's really rough. I mean, has your family been good? Has everybody been good out there with the fire?
Everybody's good. Because the wildfires happened on Maui, which is a different island. And I know a lot of people have been feeling it. You know, it just every day there's always something new to post about it. I try to, and I stay away from the political side of it and the conspiracy theories, because that's another thing I don't want to, I'm not going to get into, but, you know, the most important thing is that there's a lot of people supporting Maui and the families and the tragedy that happened to the initial families that happened. But I don't, because on a lot of these posts, it's just nonsense and just side stuff. And it's not even people that have been affected by it. It's just people that from Hawaii that I understand they want to, you know, protect Maui and help. But it's like, the energy for like these conspiracy theories and all this stuff, not needed. Like, it's just about the support and love. All they need is support. I'm sure that anything they get, whether it's resources, money, whatever, food, I'm sure these families are just grateful. So my family's good. It, you know, I do think about it here and there. I am on a different island. My heart definitely does go out to Maui. But even more so, like you said, community is what we need right now. When they see people coming together just for a great time, just to dance, and when the people see that, it's inspiring. It doesn't always have to be like, oh, I have to give a thing, you know, a physical thing. I don't have to give money. But when you give inspiration to somebody that, oh, wow, like what they're doing is amazing. What they're getting together, they're happy. That's what they want to see. They want to see inspiration that there is hope out there. And there is definitely hope. There's hope everywhere. You just have to believe there is, you know what I'm saying? So that's just what, you know, just going back to what we were talking about too, about eating at my table. There, it's me, like you said, there's plenty of room on the Crumbs table for you to join. The one thing I have to make sure is that even though the table is set for other people and I'm good, if people don't show up, I can't beat myself up, be like, oh man, nobody showed. No, one day somebody will show, and then another person will show. And it's just, I can't get weary or discouraged if nobody shows at the table. I won't be discouraged if somebody doesn't show up to it. If there's a Beast Camp training that I host and nobody shows, I'm not going to beat myself up, because one, the whole reason why I'm doing this is for them. Also, I'm doing this for me. Like, I need this as much as somebody else wants or needs this too. And so having the table set for somebody else as well, I just can't get discouraged if it's just one person. I'd be happy if it's one person and we just vibe out together, or even if we just talk crump. To me, that's enough. If we talk crump and don't dance for a whole hour, that's good for me, because I'm already full of crump. I mean, I'm full of crump and I could always use more, but just to share an experience, whether it's dancing or talking, to me, that means more to me. And again, this is not just for the people I'm hosting it for. This is also for me to stay hungry, to stay motivated, because there's days where I'm not motivated. Like after this podcast, I'm going to train. I told myself I'm going to train. Now, do I feel like training? No, but I'm going to do it. Why? Because when I stay consistent, I'll find my motivation. I'll find it. My inspiration will come, because my goal for me every day, and it doesn't happen every day, but because I have time today, my goal every day is to lab at least 1 hour a day strong, just a hard lab, even when I don't feel like labbing. But the moment I step 15 minutes into my lab, I'll get into it. I'm like, oh, dang, all right, cool. Like, I like this movement. Let's just repeat this movement because I like it. When I stay consistent, I'll find my motivation. I'll find my reasons why I'm up right now. And then before I know it, the hour is up. Like, dang, I could have gone another hour, but my cup is full. I'm good. There's always another day that I can do this. So that's how I look at this whole thing.
My guy. I really try to look at it, because being on the road, and in some places I'm close to dance and in some places I'm far. And I try to just tell myself, as long as I'm consistent with small acts, then good, consistent small acts will happen in my favor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what is it? The journey of 100 miles started with the first step, yep. You know? And so as long as I just keep tiptoeing and tiptoeing towards the mountain, you know, good actions will happen, man. And, you know, I hope that the universe stays in your favor. And I hope that, I hope that one day me and you can look back at this podcast and be like, look, listen, bro, you rebuilt this movement. You did it. You really did it. Like, look at all these bangers you got coming out of Hawaii, representing all these different islands, man. And I mean, hopefully it gets so big where you guys have island battles, you know, you got 10 from Maui and 10 from over here and 10 from over there. And they're just, you guys got your own whole own fucking thing, because I mean, people can argue with the mama, but when I first started hearing about crump and really started coming around, yeah, it was Cali. And then I knew about Vegas and Hawaii. I mean, argue with your granny, bro. You know what I mean? If you think that South Dakota was number 4 or 5, sorry, bro, I didn't hear about you. Sorry about it. You know, Hawaii was doing their thing, bro. My bad.
And honestly, like, speaking of that, I already have a vision for that. Like, I already have a vision of throwing a huge event, not just for Hawaii, but, you know, like, people fly to EBS. It might be cheaper to fly to Hawaii. So, you know, maybe not this year or maybe not next year, because again, I got to put in the work. I already envision like me throwing a Crump event. I also see myself throwing a Crump / All Styles event here, and Crumpers will come from the States and come down. I already see that. So like, it's just like, you know, like I said, even though it's been such a long journey, this still feels like the beginning to me. And that not necessarily it's a bad thing, because it's a good thing. When it's the beginning, there's always room to grow. There's always room to learn. There's always room to improve. And so it's so crazy. I already have my phone in my notes like, oh, future Crump event ideas. You know, I have like things I want to, vendors, food vendors, clothing vendors that, you know, maybe that want to come through. How am I going to budget? How am I going to fundraise for? These are things I'm already thinking about. Like, I may not say it like publicly to my friends. These are things I'm thinking about. And that's how I saw myself with music. That's how I saw myself with Crump. It started with a vision. It's like, my vision for Crump wasn't to be the best in Hawaii. It was just, I want to learn. I want to get better. Who knows what's going to happen? Look where I am now. When I was a kid playing music, oh, I just want to play music. I just want to learn. I just want to enjoy. Look what happened. I didn't plan any of this. I didn't plan to be Young Striker, to be under like one of the most influential persons in Crump. I didn't plan to be a full-time musician, but it happened. And it really goes to being patient, working hard at it, and believing something's going to happen. And when you believe in yourself and people see that, they'll start believing in you too. And they're like, man, like, what can I do to help you? I want to help you throw an event, Pono. I already see that happening. I don't know who it's going to be, but I know I don't feel like it's going to be one. I feel it's going to be a few people. Hey, let me vendor with you. Let me vendor at your event. Let me cook some food for your event. Hey, I have a venue. Like, bro, like, you can just use it. I already see that. And it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. And I'm excited. However it's going to go, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't. Cool. But I know that what I'm doing, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And something great's going to come out of this. It always does. It always does. So I'm already expecting great things from Hawaii Crump and myself and for these other dancers.
Bro, when you move with pure intention, and when you move through the humility of humbleness and just dedication to something like the way that you do, nothing but good can come from it. Again, I was reading from the book of Genesis, and you know, in the story of creation, at the end of each day of creation, you know, God said, and it was good. With each part of the creation, and it was good, because there was an intention of creating something good out of pure love. You know what I mean? And that's a way that I see you moving, with love and in peace and camaraderie and community and cooperation with the people around you. And when you really do move like that, and I mean that in all sincerity, when you really move like that, bro, nothing but good can come from it. There will be the naysayers, there'll be the doubters, there'll be all that stuff to come along. But that's just, I think that's kind of validation that you're on the right track. If you ask me, like, people said, oh, you know, your podcast will never do this, or oh, you know, you won't be this, or oh, you can't do that. And here we are, you know what I mean? Doing this podcast fucking miles from each other, bro. and yet here we are. Dude, before we sign out, please, please, again, I want to say thank you again, you know, broski, brother in arms, man, beast camp, all that. But before we sign out, please leave the masses, put something on wax, you know, your little Pono's gym for the night.
There's so many, but just off the bat is just do it. Like, just start. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all it takes, because if you don't start, you'll never know. And that's all it took for me, was it took me to just start learning Crump. It started with me asking for an ukulele. You know, just start, bro. Just do it and find other people that have like mindset with you. And it's contagious. Once you're with somebody that you have a passion for, that same passion, it'll grow. So my gem is just to start somewhere. Like, one step forward, you know, is all it takes.
My guy Pono, again, thank you. Please plug in your social media so people can follow you, listen to your music, and follow your journey through dance and life.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Instagram at Pono Music HI, so P-O-N-O Music M-U-S-I-C-H-I on Instagram. On YouTube, it's the same thing. So, you know, all my links for my YouTube channel is on there. My Spotify links are on my Instagram, you know, bio. So definitely check that out. I'm always doing something every week with music. I'm always doing something with dance. So the journey is exciting and the journey is fun. So, yeah, come watch my journey. And, yeah.
My guy Pono, dude, thank you again. I'm going to send you a message right now, bro. But, again, thank you to being on the Smoking Section. Everybody listening, until next time.